Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Don, for leading us in those songs. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We have a few visitors with us today. We extend a very special welcome to you. Have a couple of prayer requests before we get started. Brother Garfield is asking prayers for Susie. She is now working in the field of counseling, specializing in marriage and family therapy. And her work, she winds up working on Sundays, and he is requesting prayers that will not detract from her spiritual life, and also praying for her. She's still experiencing some residual effects of COVID, so we need to remember her at this time while her work schedule is such that she'll be missing Sunday mornings, and also her health. And also, Carolyn has requested prayers for her brother-in-law, Chris, who had major surgery this past Friday on his back. And she requests prayers for his recovery. He's got a long road ahead of him. But also, he's not a member of Christ. So we need to remember him. Let's go to God in prayer this time before we get started in our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, there's a few special requests that we have right now. We ask that you be with Chris Sparks as he's recovering from back surgery. We're thankful that he had surgery that will hopefully heal the problems in his back. We hope that the recovery is swift and full. But God, more than that, we pray for his spiritual life. We hope that there will be people in his life that can influence him toward Christ. We hope that Carolyn can have a good experience and that he can heal that part of his spiritual life that is still lacking. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Susie. She has worked hard in her schooling, in her preparation for this. What a wonderful position she'll be in to be able to help couples, especially with their marriage and individual therapy for them. They will be getting a Christian perspective. And we ask that you be with her as she counsels people. But we also ask that you be with her, that while she's doing good work, she's missing the fellowship of the body. And we ask that it's made up by extra effort on her part, extra effort on the parts of her brothers and sisters, to keeping her close to being grounded and strong in the Word. Dear God, we ask that you be with us now as we continue into our worship. We hope that everything that has been done so far has been pleasing and glorifying to you. Be with us as we look into your Word, open our hearts and minds, and strengthen us. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The last couple of weeks, the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the idea of getting saved. Most of us here are in that position. We have heard the Word of God. We have done the things necessary that's in the Word of God to get saved. We have put our Lord on in baptism. And as it says in Acts, the Lord has added us to his church. We did not join a church. We did not sign up. The Lord added us when we were baptized.
Amen.
Today, I want us to look at the perspective, once, now that we're saved, staying saved. It's not, when we're baptized, it's not a thing, whew, we're good to go, that's all we need to do, safe at home, you know? That's the beginning of our walk with Christ. That's the beginning of our growth. That's the beginning of our maturing. That's our Christian birth. But we've got to stay saved. And that's a lifelong process. It's a daily process. It's a daily fight. And some of us, the fight is harder than, you know, what's the saying today? The struggle is real. We've got to stay saved. We never want to be one of those that loses our salvation. That just slowly, like the frog being boiled, slowly drifts away. Very rarely, I won't say never because there may be a situation that I can't think of. But nobody wakes up one day and saying, I'm done. I'm giving up on my salvation. I can't think of anybody that would apply to. It's more of a gradual process. It's more of a situation where an event happens and somebody might get sideways with a person, a circumstance, pride takes over, they lose that first love, they lose that desire, the emotion of when you're saved, the day of baptism, that moment of baptism, is that feeling is not always going to be there. That feeling is not always going to be there. Those of us that have been married for any length of time, it takes effort. The feeling of that first kiss dwindles. Remember that first kiss? Remember where it was? What you were, you know, you remember that. It's exciting. It's not always going to be like that. It takes effort. It takes effort to stay saved. Let's look at some scriptures. Tracy read to us earlier in our worship from John 6. Jesus had been teaching, and some of the people were having trouble with some of the things he was teaching. They were kind of shaking their heads. They were murmuring, as it says. And he picked up on it. And then down the road, he's saying, or in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That's a sad verse to me. That is a very sad verse. They used to be with him. They used to follow him. And they walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's a very good question. That's a valid question. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter understood, and he's kind of speaking for the others, because he's saying we. He's not just speaking for himself. Jesus asked him, do you also want to leave? Jesus is aware. People have turned and are leaving. Look at the things they had seen. Look at the things that they had heard. They were following him. They were amazed. But some of them chose not to continue to follow. I shake my head at that. And Jesus asks them, do you guys want to leave too? Have you had enough? And Peter, speaking for the others, he says, where else is there? Where else is there? Where can we find what we've got with you anywhere else? We figured it out, Jesus. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God.
Amen.
We're where we should be. We're staying. We're staying. Peter will write years later, decades later, by the way, as an older man, he will write in 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. He says, and I don't know this. I'm not saying that he was thinking about this. I wonder if as he was writing this, he maybe thought back. If his thoughts lingered back to maybe that moment when Jesus was with him. And they have that exchange. But he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them.
Amen.
But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Mm-hmm. Peter got it. And he's trying to write to others so they'll get it too. You don't turn back from Jesus. Once you commit to him, it's for life. Because after you have experienced the things you did from the knowledge of the Lord, the things that we learn from the Bible, and are saved, if you return back to that old life, it's like the true proverb, dog returning to his own vomit, or a pig back wallowing in the mud. That's what it's like. Revelation 2:10, the Apostle John recorded the words of Jesus, and in 10 it says, Jesus said, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We don't get the rewards till the end. Till the end. Jesus was saying basically the same thing, but here on earth, not through any revelation. He told his followers in Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. To the end. Not Not give it a little hit here and there, but to the end. Mark 14:12. I understand this had to happen. It was prophesied. But it's hard to imagine how one of the 12, Judas, he saw everything the others did. He experienced the teachings that the others did. He saw the miracles. It wasn't like they saw it and experienced it, and he didn't get to see those things. But even with experiencing everything that the apostles did, one of them is going to betray Jesus. One of them will turn and leave and betray him. And in Mark 14:10, it says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. It kind of gives credence to the scripture, take heed lest you fall. Who would have ever thought one of the 12? I think of this when I thought, oh, it'll never happen to me. One of the 12 fell away. He saw a lot more than I ever saw. He experienced firsthand more than I ever got to see about Jesus. I've gotten to read a lot more than he did. But it can happen to me. Paul wrote to Timothy, and how sad is this? This is one of the last verses he would write. He's wanting Timothy to come to him soon. And he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He needed help. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Timothy, I need you. Demas has forsaken me. Somebody that he used to count on. Somebody that had aided him in the past. But now he's been forsaken by him. In the letter to the seven churches of Asia, Jesus is saying in Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. It's quit being a priority to you. I used to be your first love. Your actions, your thoughts, everything was for me. You've left your first love. He says, I have that against you. We know the remedy for that is repentance. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins.
Amen.
That's scary. If we're going to be obstinate enough, if we're going to be bold enough, arrogant enough, to after we have been, like Peter said, like, If we've left, it's like a dog returning to its own vomit. Going back into the world? Do any of us actually want to? I know we don't. But it happens.
Amen.
And when it does, there no longer remains a sacrifice. We're turning our back on that. We're giving back that grace we've been given. 1 Corinthians, Paul says toward the end of his letter to the Corinthians, he says, therefore, after all of this that I've said, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That if we remain steadfast, it's going to pay off. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. The reward will be there. Your labor is not in vain. You remain steadfast until death. He that, remain faithful to the end, enduring to the end, will be saved. It's not in vain. And our last verse, we'll wrap it up. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I never want to be one of those people, and I'm sure every one of us can name somebody in our religious life. I never thought they would have fallen away. I never thought they would have been like that. But we've all known people. And I guess we leave ourselves some questions. Why people do fall away? It's lack of growth. They come up out of the waters of baptism and maybe they don't keep growing. Things are not always going to be emotionally the way it is at baptism. You're excited. No one can turn you away then. But they don't grow. They don't mature in attitude. They let people affect them. Somebody was ugly to me. And so I'm going to leave my salvation because of the actions of an individual. The practice that takes place in a congregation. I didn't like it. I didn't like a decision that was made, so I'm leaving. Color me gone. Color you lost. They make a decision based on, they never grow. Lack of study helps you not to grow. Mm-hmm. Lack of attendance. I don't want it to be an argument, but I am willing to discuss with any of you, anytime, those of you that think you don't have to attend. Those of you, I was asked to repeat it. Those of you that think you don't have to attend, I will be glad, not as an argument, not as a debate, not to get you told, because that's on me to make sure I don't have that attitude. Because I can either get you told, I can get you told, but that's not good for me. If you think you don't have to attend, why do people not want to attend? There's various reasons. I don't know. A lot of it is pride. You're not going to tell me I have to attend. You can't make me. That's usually what it boils down to. I don't want to. And you're not going to make me. Some people didn't count the cost. They were excited. They were on fire when that water of baptism's dripping off of them. But maybe they didn't understand the cost. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it wasn't taught to them what being a disciple is. Sometimes that's the teacher's fault for not teaching them what being a Christian truly is. But it all boils down, all of it boils down. It just wasn't a priority. You can be saved and fall away. I'm not the one that takes you out of the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't take each other's... I don't have the eraser for that. That's God. Now, somebody can kind of evaluate the circumstances and realize that face on the board hasn't been here in whoever knows how long. They probably, you can evaluate the circumstances. They're sure not an active member of this congregation any longer. That's well within somebody's right. Well within somebody's right. Are we taking them out of the Lamb's Book of Life? No. The only one that can do that is themselves or God. People can fall away. And going back to the scripture that was read today, Jesus said, "Do you want to go away also?" And Jesus responds, "Where should we go? You've got the words of eternal life." And they've come to know that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I encourage you, don't be one of those that fall away. Ever. Ever. Let's all get to heaven together. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, if you haven't been baptized for the forgiveness of sins in immersion, you're not saved. You haven't been added to the church by the Lord yet. If you need to repent, if you need to identify with us to work and worship here at South Valley, whatever your need, please come forward as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.